Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now, it's out of the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is July the 11th, 2025, or it is the 17th day of the fourth lunar month, 2029. We will start our first service today on two timer greetings, number 44, by Vicki Hutter. And the name of our message is The Signs of Yahshua's Second Coming, or The Signs of the Kingdom, which this has always been a very good topic. Pay close attention, because the signs of his second coming is here. Text of address, Vicki Hutter, January the 22nd, 1949. And I was 11 years old on January the 22nd, 1949. Okay, it says that we as the students and gospel teachers have for the years dwelt heavenly on the signs of the Yahshua's second coming, but not at all on the signs of the kingdom. As a result of this, Christendom has theoretically merged with the signs of the kingdom with the signs of the second advent. Something similar under this is what the Jews of the old did when they were expecting the Messiah's first appearance. According unto their private understanding, they deeply studied the signs of the restoration of the kingdom. The signs of the restoration. Okay. So they was looking for the restoration of the kingdom back then, 2,000 years ago. But not so much of the signs of the Messiah's coming. I want to stop here and read you something from the Bible about what the disciples asked Yahshua there in Acts, I believe, chapter 1, verse 6. Now the disciples knew that when Yahshua come from heaven, they knew that he was sent here to restore the kingdom of David. They knew this. And because the disciples were all chosen from the tribe of Judah, and they were of the kingdom, which is the kingdom of David here on earth. So here they are, Yahshua has chosen them. He's got them operating, running his kingdom, Yahshua's kingdom. And the disciples asked him, will you at this time restore the kingdom? Well, what they don't know, that Yahshua had already restored the kingdom spiritually unto the disciples. And they don't know it, but they were looking for the physical restoration. And that was destroyed since they rebuilt it, coming out of captivity, of Babylonian captivity at 535 B.C. Judah restored the temple and the kingdom of Israel. And so the apostles, all from the tribe of Judah, they were asking, not sure, is he going to restore that kingdom of Judah that was destroyed that Nebuchadnezzar, when he took them captive, in a 7-year captivity. And this is what Yahshua said to him. He says, I'll read that Acts chapter 1, verse 6 again. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Master, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father has put in his own power. Okay? It is not time for you to know the times or the season. That ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come up on you, that would be Pentecostal power, at the Pentecost, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Alright, so that's where we're going to go back to our reading now, the Beastie Holler, about this. Because he says that they were not to know. But in Luke 17:20, Yahshua said to the disciples then, he said, the kingdom cometh not with observation, but the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. So here the apostles, they had the kingdom of Yahweh within them, and here they are worrying about, well, when is Yahshua going to come back and restore the kingdom? Well, when he chose the apostles to be his disciples, and he gave the keys to the kingdom of Peter in Matthew 16:19, he says that Peter, I'll give you the keys of kingdom, to the kingdom. Well, what's the matter with the apostles? Are they so dull of hearing and seeing that they don't realize that they had control and they were in possession of the kingdom of heaven? And yet, they want to see a new one built upon the hill of Zion, and they want to see it built. And they thought Yahshua was going to come back and just speak, and that new Jerusalem is going to appear right there on that mountain. That's what they talked about. So Yahshua, are you going to now restore the Israel? Restore the kingdom unto Israel. The disciples they didn't know the prophecies. They didn't know the prophecies in Amos. Or maybe they did. And so I'm going to keep on reading now. On my reading, it says that thus it was not when they were told that the Messiah had come, but not the time to restore the kingdom. For the leaders of the Jews, taken for granted that their private, uninspired interpretation of the scriptures was infallible, rejected the message of that day. Then, in an attempt to safeguard their influence on the common people and to subjugate them to their way of thinking, they crucified Yahshua, their Savior and King, as they did also kill the prophets who went before him. their insistence that the kingdom be restored in their day, though profited them nothing. For the fact that the Christendom itself is divided and confused, and believing one thing and another, something else is in itself a sufficient evidence that besides being in the total darkness of the signs of the kingdom, because of the private interpretation of the scripture, Christendom must be in the darkness of the many other things as well. In such a confused state of the faith, Christendom is definitely no more led by the spirit of the truth than were the rebellious Jews. Past experience teaches, however, that to try to convince the multitude of this fact would be as formidable a task as to convince the Jews, even unto this day, that Yahshua is the Messiah that was to come. For the difficulty lies in the fact that hardly a theologian allows for the possibility that his misunderstanding of the Bible might be at the least in a measure erroneous. And that inspiration might almost at any moment manifest itself anew, unroll the scroll, and bring forth a timely truth, meet in the due season, and thus expose their private concoctions of the so-called truth, new with all the respect and sincerity by the authority of the scriptures and by the virtue of the facts before me. I say that it would be easier for a chicken to find its roost in the blackest of the night than for the uninspired mind to unveil the prophecy and the parable. For the difference between the two is that the chicken realizes the futility of trying to find her roost after the sunset. But the self-willed man does not realize that he cannot unveil the truth at his own will and without light from above. We as the Christians have obviously, now I'm going to change that word Christians back to apostolic. We as the antitypical apostolics of these last days have obviously failed for the noting of the fact that if the secret things of the Yahweh matter not, how simple were to be unsealed at any time by anyone. For the inspiration would never, in the first place, have concealed them in the symbols and parables. For the apostolic, what they call, are they, Christendom, and it's ever apostolic. Now, when I say apostolic, I'm talking about Sabbath keepers. I'm not talking about Christendom Sunday keepers collectively, all those Sunday keeping churches. When I say apostolic Christendom, I'm talking about feast keeping, Seventh-day Sabbath, Adventist included, is still blind unto to the fact that for the attempting, for the breaking into the mysteries of the Yahweh's would be to attempt to defeat his purposes, just to try to break into the divine code, is to try the impossible. For example, even when the time did come for the book seal with the seven seals to be unsealed, Revelation 4 and 5, no one in heaven or on the earth is able to do so. Only the line of the tribe of Judah, and that's Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, Genesis 49:10, could break the seal, and that's in Revelation chapter 5, and look into the things which afterwards were shown unto the John the Revelator. And though John wrote them, he himself could not before the time explain them. Then how can we do such before the time and without the inspiration of the same Spirit who indicted them? For the word of Yahweh plainly warned, 2 Peter 1:10-21, we have also a more sure word of the prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day shall arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. Verily, the holy men of the Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. No one, say the Scriptures, can privately, without the inspiration of the Job 32:8, have unfold this prophecy. Because in Job 32:8, it said about it takes the inspiration of the Almighty to give understanding. Unfold the prophecy for the reasons that the apostle, as the prophecy came not by the private effort, not by the will of the men, only by the holy man of the Spirit, neither can it therefore be of any private interpretation, only by the holy men led by the Holy Spirit. Moreover, even after the prophecy is thus interpreted, only for the righteous, for the penitent, that is, given unto the gift of the understanding of the prophecy, Daniel 12:10. Since we as a people know some of the signs of Yahshua's second coming, and none of the signs of the kingdom, we had better now concentrate on the signs of the latter. Matthew 13:24-30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, For the kingdom of the heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hast it tarried? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. For the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. For this parable of the kingdom, you know, contains three periods of the time. First, the period of the sowing, the seed, the time of the Yahshua's ministry. Second, the period of the growing, and the time from the ascension of the Yahshua unto the harvest. Third, the time of the harvest, a short period of, this is the time at the end of the world. Okay, that would be in the 12th parabolic hour. So that's the time we're in since 2002, starting at Kermit, Texas. At the Passover, 2002, started the 12th parabolic hour, Matthew 13:49, that period in which the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel of the Revelation 18:1, and in that all of the Yahweh's people are called out of the Babylon, Revelation 18:4, and those who did not respond unto this gathering call will cry out, for the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. For the harvest therefore is in the end of the world. That would be the 12th parabolic hour. It takes place at that time. Matthew 13:49. For it commences in the SDA church and ends in the Babylon. And that started in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, because Brother Johnson represented the last prophet for the Adventist church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Brother Johnson worked with the number four groups of laborers that are pointed out there in Matthew 20, verse 5, that was called at the ninth hour. That's the Adventist Church was called in 1844. But Brother Johnson brought up the tail end of the Adventist movement in 2002. He was a fourth prophet. Literally for the Adventist Church. He was the one that was given full charge of either bringing the church, he was in full charge of bringing the Adventist Church to its end. For the work of the harvest very, very obviously is synonymous with the judgment that decides who are the tares and who are the wheat, who are to be burned and destroyed as noxious weeds, and who are as the precious wheat to be admitted into the barn, the kingdom. Okay. I'll read that to you again. Who are to be burned, that's the tares, and destroyed as the noxious weeds, and the ones that are as the precious wheat to be admitted into the barn, that is a symbol or representation of the kingdom set up here on this earth in the 12th parabolic hour. Now you see why Yahshua told the apostles, will you now, they asked him, restore the kingdom unto Israel. He said, it's not given into my power. It's not given into our power. But when that time comes, know for sure that whoever is in charge at that time will announce the restoration of the kingdom and the 12th parabolic hour. When that time comes, whoever is living at that time that has inspiration as a prophet, he will be the one to restore that knowledge. Thus it is that the judgment is the cleansing of the sanctuary. Daniel 8:14, for the house of Yahweh, for the temple that the Yahweh, Yahshua suddenly comes and purifies his servants, the Levites. Here is the way that the letter of Scripture reads. So the 144,000, the prophets, priests, and kings, and Malachi points them out as the sons of the Levites, the priesthood, that didn't apostatize at Kadesh Barnea when they came out of Egypt. The other 11 tribes apostatized at Kadesh Barnea at Mount Sinai 3 months after they came out of Egypt with Moses. Oh, so it says, the 144,000 then are the direct descendants of that priesthood of Levi that didn't apostatize, so Yahshua made them the priesthood for the 40 years that they had left to stay in the wilderness. Oh, okay. Matthew 3:1-5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even a messenger, which is then typically Elijah, of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua the host, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levi and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahshua an offering in righteousness. And I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false spirits, and against those that oppress the harlot and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and have turned aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, says Yahshua the Lord. Now many yields of the truth is for the harvest to give. And if the 144,000 for the 144,000 are the first fruit, Revelation 14:4, then there must be the second fruit, for where there is no second, there can be no first. For the word of first fruits absolutely necessitates second fruits. Where do the first fruits come from? And where do the second fruits come from? We are plainly told that the first fruits are the Israelites, all from the 12 tribes of the Israel, Revelation 7:48. Israel certainly stands for the church membership at the time that they are sealed. For the title Israel cannot be construed to mean the world. For the first fruits, therefore, are harvested from the church itself at the time that the separation begins. For the word seal means placed in a safe place. Seal. This is exactly what the Apostle Peter said. 1 Peter 4:17-18. For the time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the plan of this salvation of Yahweh? That is faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, to practice the statutes and commandments of the sanctuary, Leviticus 23:1-44. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? Now then, if the judgment begins first in the house of Yahweh, and the church, then it will end in the world. Outside the church circles, the parable of the net and the revelation of John very briefly and concisely bring this truth still better to the surface. Okay.